Okay, I know y'all are ready for chapter 4 of Nehemiah as we look, we continue to look at Nehemiah's prayer life. All right, and as when we did when we were here for Mother's Day, we kind of mentioned how the message tied into Mother's Day briefly, and this will be the same today because we're talking about when we're called to do a great thing for the Lord. As Nehemiah was, we are called to do a work that only God would be able to work in us if we surrender to Him in His ways and His guidance. So imagine everything that you have worked for and you are convinced that God has called you to do, and you are about the Lord's business, and all the while you're met with ridicule, threats, and growing fear. How many of y'all thought that serving the Lord would be easy when you got saved and you went out? It's like, yeah, we got to go tell people about Jesus, right? Well, maybe I'm the only one, because when I went into ministry, I thought I'm just going to tell everybody about Jesus and everybody's going to get saved. That was the dream I had in my mind, honestly, because I was so on fire for getting saved and so on fire for telling everybody about the one who saved me, I did not have the capability of seeing what was out there in that moment. And it didn't take long. It did not take long for reality to hit me in the face. You ever been on a road trip and you think you're going in a certain direction, right? I'm talking before GPS. You look at the map and you get your plan and you know where you're going. And then the next thing you know, you end up driving into some town that you never even saw on the map. Sign says, welcome to this town or that town. And you're like, how'd I get over here? You might not be lost. You might not have even been on the wrong road. You just didn't realize you were going through that town. Well, what I'm saying is, many times, almost every time, we try to follow the Lord in our walk with Christ or serve God in whatever He's called us to do, we suddenly see a sign that says, welcome to Realville. You ever been to Realville? I know all of you have, because I know what goes on in your lives, because we share life together. Every one of us has been to Realville more than once. Hopefully we kind of camp out there most of the time, right? Hopefully we kind of live there in Realville so that we are aware of what's going on. But sometimes Realville, when you're serving the Lord, there's not so many great things going on, because we live with other people. Hello? I know. Don't get all up here about that either. It's like, yeah, all them other people. If it weren't for the other people, I could get stuff done for the Lord. No, you are other people's other people, right? Just be aware of that. You are somebody else's other people. Just be careful how we think about that. But the voices around you are saying it's impossible to do what God has called you to do or sent you to do or what Jesus died for you to do. Hello? And I guess we need to keep it in mind that whatever the Lord has for us to do in our Christian life, making disciples, loving people and loving God, right? Not living the way we used to live before we repented and were saved. Whatever we're doing, God has called us to do it, so it must be doable. Hello? But it's also something that totally ticks off the enemy. The one who doesn't want you to be saved. The one who doesn't want you to know about Jesus and grace and the gospel. The one who doesn't really want you to really love other people and care about other people. The one who doesn't want you to do what God's called you to do. In every moment of your life, there will always be naysayers. Whole family of them, right? Their naysayers are people who will ridicule you. They will sometimes threaten you. They will try to instill fear in your mind, intimidate. They'll try to discourage you. They'll point out everything you're not doing right. And they might even be right about some of those things, but they'll never point out what you're doing that's not right, that's right and not wrong. Y'all get me, right? So the situation that Nehemiah found is in chapter 4 is he's gone to the battlefield, he's gone to the work field, he's gone to the place where God sent him to be to rebuild the walls and get the people to do so, and he's got opposition. They made fun of him, they ridiculed him, and now they're threatening him. And we'll see that as we look into chapter 4. So when opposition and discouragement threaten the kingdom work, we must respond with prayer. That's a duh moment, wouldn't y'all think? It seems like a duh moment, but is it really? Because how often do we skip that step? We have to be vigilant. We pray and stay vigilant. Talk to God, stay vigilant, be aware, and we remember our God. That's it. That's what we're going to learn this morning, right? I want y'all to know what we're going to learn, because I don't want to get going and miss the point and y'all don't see it. So the first thing in verse 1 through 3 of chapter 4, let me read this real quick, and we'll put verse 6 in there. So let me just read verse 1, chapter 4. Now it came about that when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became furious and very angry and mocked the Jews. He spoke in the presence of his brothers and the wealthy men of Samaria and said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Are they going to restore? Are they going to restore it for themselves? Can they offer sacrifices? Can they finish in a day? Can they revive the stones from the dusty rubble, even the buried ones? Excuse me, even the burned ones?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was near him and said, and he said, "Even what they are building, if a fox should jump on it, he would break their stone wall down." So in verse 4, 5, and 6, here's the response. "Hear, O God, how we are despised. Return their reproach on their own heads and give them up for plunder in a land of captivity. Do not forgive their iniquity and let not their sin be blotted out before you, for they have demoralized the builders." And then finally in verse 6, "So we built the wall, and the whole wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work." Isn't that great? It's like a nice short story, right? With a plan, with trouble, and then a happy ever after ending, seemed like, if you stop there. But we're taking this snapshot so that we can understand in our world today, as believers, as the church, as we go about the Lord's business, as we seek His guidance and how to make disciples and who to witness to and who to love and who to glorify God in front of, we know these things are going to come about. We know that we're going to have opposition. We know that there are people in our world that have little respect for the Christian life. They hate the Christian life, the gospel, so much that they spend their entire lives trying to destroy it. Y'all know that's true. Right, so we definitely need to see these things and apply it to those areas of life. And by the way, even those people Jesus died for. Hello? All right, keep that in mind. The people are not the enemy. The people are not the enemy. All right? That's why we pray. That's why we ask God. We stay busy. So opposition to the kingdom work is inevitable. It's inevitable. Anytime you try to do anything for God, you will have some kind of opposition. Maybe great, it may be subtle. And just another point, these guys that we just read about that are coming against Nehemiah, they're not from far off. They're people in the same area, right? It's not like they traveled the world to come and stop this. And sometimes opposition is right under your feet. Sometimes opposition is within the body of Christ in our world. You ever notice that? Sometimes people in your own family. Sometimes people that you trust the most, intentionally or not, can become the opposition. Not to you, but to what God is doing. Remember when Jesus was talking about his ministry and he's talking about going to be with the Father and having to, on all, the whole gospel thing. And Peter's like, "Yeah, it's over my dead body. That's going to happen." Remember Peter said that? And what did Jesus say to him? He said, "Get behind me, Satan." Because you know he didn't say that to Peter. Right? He said it about what Peter said, speaking to the enemy who was using Peter in the moment because Peter didn't understand the mission that God had going on. There was opposition, and Jesus addressed it head on. Get behind me, Satan. If it's God's plan, if he's called you to do a certain thing, if he's called Oak Grove to do a certain thing, then go do it. Knowing there will be opposition and knowing that it can be dealt with. So we have to what? We have to pray. We have to keep our mind on the work. Notice in verse 6, this is my point. I'm getting there. So we built the wall, and the whole wall was joined together to half its height. Look, for the people had a mind to work. Remember, not so long ago, we talked about the battle for the mind. The battle between God and Satan happens in our minds. And we already have victory over that. We just have to learn how to stand in that victory that Jesus provided, by the way. We have to make up our minds to stand where Jesus stands. Stand on the foundation that Christ built. So that we can stand in his victory in our minds. Because if you're going to have a mind to work for the kingdom of God, it has to be already made up. Every day. In all situations. Right? If God has called you to do a certain thing in your life for his kingdom, as a witness, as a believer, as a disciple maker, then you should make up your mind that that's what you're going to be about. Hello? And I think everybody sits back and is like, well, that seems common. That seems easy to understand. Or somebody might sit back and say, yeah, but you don't know what I'm dealing with. You haven't been down that road before. You don't know what kind of things that people are saying or doing in my life. You don't know how hard it is. And I don't. I'll agree with you 100% because I'm not living your life. We here at Oak Grove know what we're up against together because we're doing it together. But you individually, as a witness, as a disciple maker, I don't know. I know what I go through. I know what my challenges are in front of me. But I don't have to know about your challenges. God knows. Hello? God already knows. He knows way more than you. He knew before it ever happened. He knew when Nehemiah was going over there, when he said to Nehemiah, put it on his heart, go, I want you to go and get this job done. It's not like this is a surprise to God that these people are publicly gathering a crowd and saying, look at these fools. You think they're going to get this done? Look how crazy they are. I mean, I remember in grade school, I'm still young enough to remember that far back, that if we called each other names, we either got angry or got our feelings hurt, or both. And then we end up having a fight on a playground. That's just growing up. Because sticks and stones, what? Sticks and stones break my bones, but words have never hurt me. Now I'm mad because the name I called you didn't hurt your feelings. So now I'm going to go do something else. And it goes back and forth. Because we're little people, young people, that don't know how to manage emotions. Yet. And I think the Lord wants us to be grown adults at some point and not dismiss emotions, but take them to him. When the world says that those Christian people hate other people because of whatever decision they like to make, whatever protest they're doing, whatever they're against, if we don't accept their lifestyles or their choices in life or their way of living, then we must hate everybody. So now we want to get offended and we want to retaliate, and now we're not doing what God sent us to do. We're not loving people. We're not sharing Christ with people because we can't even have a conversation with people because we're too busy picking sides and drawing up fists. Make sense? It's opposition. It's discouragement, distraction. All Satan wants to do is take your mind off of the task that God has called you to. And if he can do that, he wins. It doesn't matter if you come to church every Sunday or every Wednesday. It doesn't matter if you read your Bible every day. As long as he can distract you or discourage you from what God is trying to get you to do for him, then he wins. Make sense? So we pray, obviously. Talk to God, first thing. It's fine. Look, I go to God all the time. Say, Lord, this person did this, this, and this, and here I can't put it down. I can't stop feeling the way I do about it. What should I do? How do I respond? And I wish I could do that every single time. But I'm working. I'm growing. I'm getting better, y'all. I'm getting better. Because I used to go off and try to deal with it and then go to God and have to repent of all the things I did trying to deal with it just to tell him how I feel so he could tell me what really to do. And it's a waste of time if I would just talk to him first. And I'm telling y'all, I'll go before the Lord. And I'm like, Lord, I know you heard what they just did and said. And I know you know how I feel about that. So I'm needing you to just give me some guidance right here. And I'll even, sometimes if it's real bad, I'll even say to him, this is what I want to do. And you know what I want to do about it. I know and you know. It's like sometimes I feel like I'm trying to have a board meeting with God and I'm like in charge of the board meeting. And he's just sitting back waiting for me to get it out so he can really be in charge of everything. That's how it is. But I think Nehemiah is over here. It's like, look, okay, these accusations, they came upon Nehemiah and all the people. Like, look, these people, they think they're going to do something great. They're not going to do it. And even if they do it, it's not going to be worth anything. And he didn't even say anything to them. He didn't even respond to them in front of all these people. He just said, hear, O God, how we are despised. In other words, he's like, God, I know that you see all of this. I know you hear what they're saying. I think it's amazing that he said, don't forgive their iniquities. Right? He said, do not let their sin be blotted out before you. He's saying how he feels. Right? Don't you want to do something great for God in your life, with your life? Say amen if you do. Hello? Two people. Don't let me push my amen button up here. I know y'all want to do something great for the Lord. I know y'all want God to be pleased with how you live your life based on the fact that Jesus died for you. And you have grace and forgiveness for free that we don't deserve. Doesn't it make you angry when someone tries to get in the way with that, of all that? If I know that I'm doing something great for God, and every time and any time somebody comes and tries to disrupt or distract or destroy that, it really makes me angry. And I'm talking either in a great way or even in a subtle way. Subtle ways are something like the people who have nothing positive to say about anything. Church folks are not. All they ever want to do is point out what's not happening or what's not doing right or what we could do different or how come you don't do this, how come you don't do that. Never talk about all the great things that God's doing in the middle of what isn't done. It bothers me. Mostly because of me. It bothers me because it's God's plan. It's God's thing. It's what God wants to do. It's what I've tried to surrender my life to. Y'all are the same, aren't you? Y'all want the church to go. You want people to get saved for that reason. You want to be a part of what God's doing, just a small part of the kingdom of God. That's why it's so amazing when somebody you know finally says, you know what? I think I need Jesus. I think I need salvation. What do I have to do to be baptized? And y'all are calling me on the phone. You're like, hey, open up the church. We're getting ready to baptize somebody. It's an amazing time. It's what it's all about. It's what Jesus died for. And it makes it all worth it, doesn't it? When somebody wants to get saved. There are people, there are others. Some of them, believe it or not, are intentionally trying to derail you. Intentionally trying to derail your ministry. And there's others who are unintentionally not being aware, like Peter, that they're speaking against what the Lord's trying to do. They're standing in the way of what God's doing. Right? So we have to, that's why I said earlier, it's like, remember, you're someone else's other people. And as long as I'm someone else's other people, then I have to be mindful of how I'm pouring into their life or taking away from their life. Am I being opposition to what God's doing in their life, or am I being a tool that God's using to pour into their life and build them up so they can be more successful at whatever God's called them to do? Because that's really what our assignment is. Love each other, build each other up so that we can go make disciples. So that the body of Christ can together, unified, go and make disciples. It's inevitable to have opposition. But we have to keep a mind to work. Keep our minds to the work. Right? I think I quoted last weekend. I don't think y'all recognize it, but if the old song, "Mama Don't Lie No Guitar Playing in the, around here." Well, I don't care what Mama Don't Lie, I'm going to play my guitar anyhow. Right? Y'all know that song. But the world is saying, we don't lie no gospel preaching around here or Jesus talking around here, but we don't care what y'all don't allow. We're going to talk about Jesus anyhow. And then we'll get Dave over on the banjo, banging and come on, make the money. It'll be great. Look at verses 7 through 9. Let's check that out real quick, see if I can get this thing rolling. So when Sanballat, verse 7, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the repairs of the walls of Jerusalem went on and that the breaches began to be closed, look, they were very angry. These are like not just three guys. It were three guys leading a group of people to come against Nehemiah and his workers, God's workers. And their schoolyard talk didn't work. Didn't faze them. They had a mind to work. Why? Because they believed in the mission. They believed in God. They knew that Nehemiah was sent from God. So they're about the Lord's business. Didn't work. Doesn't matter what you say. We're doing this. It don't matter what goes on in these mountains. Oak Grove is going to go make disciples. Period. Yeah, we're going to have opposition, but we're going to ask God to deal with that. And we're going to have our mind focus on the work. Verse 8 says, all of them conspired together. When you got conspiracy going on, you got problems. They conspired together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause a disturbance in it. Now remember I told you at the playground, the words didn't work, so now we got to have school fights. Start knocking each other down, pushing each other down, tripping each other. That's what happens. Verse 8 and 9. Verse 9 says, but we prayed to our God. We prayed to our God. And if you think that physical violence isn't part of what goes on in our church today, against coming up against the church, look at the news. Pay attention to what's going on. Some of these people who are, to say it lightly, naysayers against the Christian faith or the gospel, and everything we stand for, when they don't get their way, they start riots. And it's physical violence. While they're accusing us of hating people. Just because we don't agree. You see what we're dealing with. So he says, but we pray to our God, and because of them, we set up a guard against them day and night. Set up a guard. They prayed, and they took action. They prayed and they got themselves ready. They were vigilant. They didn't say, God's going to take care of that, and then acted like it wasn't there anymore. They talked to God and they said, look, we're going to set it up to where we can stay about the Lord's business here, but we're going to keep one eye over here on these people and the other eye on the work of the Lord. And God will have his way. And now look, you and I, as believers in 2026, as we're disciple makers going into the world, loving people and loving God, we can't just feel like we're going to run around the world, tell everybody about Jesus, and everybody wants to be saved will get saved, and that'll be the end of it. If we're engaged in a ministry in this world, in our society today, you can expect somebody to get upset. You can expect somebody to maybe try to say some bad things at some point in your life. You can expect maybe even something what we would consider crazy to happen, because it happens on the news, but it would never happen to me, would it? Hello? Don't fall for that trap. Don't fall for that trap. If you're not engaged in the work of the body of Christ, then you don't have anything to be concerned about, because Satan don't care about what you're doing, because you ain't doing nothing. As long as he can keep you there, he wins. But we live in a world where wherever we might go, even in our great nation, where we're still free to look at the Word of God, we're still free to preach, we're still free to be Christians, it can happen. It can happen. It can happen even if we don't leave this building. If somebody feels like they want to shut down what we're doing, it can happen. So what are we going to do? We're going to pray. We're going to ask God, hey, we're going to be about your business, Lord. Help, give us strength and courage and wisdom, and help us be vigilant. Help us know what to do so that we can be aware, so that we can be ready, so that we can survive and continue to do your work. It's practical steps. That's what we do. You do that in your life. You do it for your home. You do it for teach your children to do it. And we do it here at the church because that's the way to live the Christian life. Now, finally, verse 14 of chapter 4, verses 20 and 21 together. We're going to read this and be done with our third point and wrap it up. Verse 14 is some of the results of what's going on. The people started to get scared. They had a mind to work, and they were diligent. They were awesome. They were like, yeah, we're going to build this wall. We don't care what those people say. And then all of a sudden, they had people whispering in their ear saying, hey, you know, they said they're going to attack us. You know, they said they're going to come over here and fight us. You know, they said, and these aren't fighters. These aren't warriors. These are just regular folks, farmers, and everyday people that don't know really how to do all that stuff. They don't even know how to build the wall, for crying out loud. And they're starting to get scared. How many of y'all recognize that happens all the time in every church? It only takes a few comments in the hallway of a church to get people distracted. Right? Conversation is like, well, I don't know if things aren't looking great. We might not make it. And you keep on building on that, and people are going to start getting scared. Maybe God's not going to do anything, or maybe it's not going to work. Maybe this ain't the right thing to do, right? Those things like that eventually create fear in our hearts and in our minds. I'm not saying we can't say things. I'm saying we have to get to the point where we say, but God's doing something here. This is the way it is, but God's going to do something here. But God's in charge of this. God's got a plan. You see what I'm saying? Because the fact is, any church can close its doors next week. Any church, any size church in any location, something can happen and they could be closed next week. Has nothing to do with size. All right? Now, let's get to the meat of this, verse 14. When I saw their fear, this is what Nehemiah is saying, I rose and spoke to the nobles, the officials, and to the rest of the people. Had a family meeting. He says, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. Once again, y'all, it's what do we have our minds focused on? What are we looking at? Again, Peter's out on the water. He's the only one that walked on the water with Jesus. Why? Because he had his mind on Jesus, on the Savior. And as long as he was doing that, he was walking on water with Jesus. Can you imagine? And then he looked away. He got distracted. He got his mind on the storm. He got his mind on what could be or what wasn't supposed to be or what didn't make sense. And he sank. As the rest of us would do. And then Jesus, of course, reaches out and grabs him and says, ye of little faith, right? All the other guys in the boat, everybody, we're all the other guys in the boat, by the way. Because we're all sitting back saying, man, if Peter would have just kept his eyes on Jesus, he'd have been all right. Like we're criticizing him for failing. And I'm the one, I'm saying, look, that dude was on the water, y'all. The rest of y'all was in the boat. Never even, all the rest of them could have got out of the boat too, but they didn't. It's all in the mind. What are you focused on in your mind? What is Oak Grove? What do we have our mind focused on? Are we focused on maybe what it might look like, what it feels like, what it used to be compared to what it is now? Are we focused on what God's doing And if you haven't been paying attention, at least for the last almost 8 years I've been here, God's been doing a lot of great things here with us and through us and around us. We can either choose to look at all of that, or we can choose to look at whatever we think is not. And I would say to you, as I gather the family around, don't be afraid. Remember the Lord who's great. The same God that Nehemiah was talking to and saying that about is the same God we serve. Remember God. Remember our Lord. Remember our Savior who died on this cross, who is great and awesome. We sing about him every Sunday. And we sing songs about how great he is. And the work that he's called us to is a great work. And it cannot fail unless we quit. Unless we give up our mind to work. Unless we give up the mind to do the work. I know it's a word, work. It's like, oh, I got to do something. Yeah. It's not you got to do something, you get to do something. You're part of the family of God, y'all. You have the greatest thing to offer any other person on the planet. Why don't we wake up eager to go find a way to give it to somebody? Knowing that there's going to be opposition, knowing there's going to be people that are against you, knowing that people are, a lot of times you get naysayers in your life is because they want to do what you're doing, but they're not doing it and they're convicted, so they got to tear you down to make themselves look better. And the battle really is, I shouldn't want to retaliate against that person. That's for the Lord to deal with. I need to find a way to love that person. I need to find a way to help that person to do different and be different. All right, I'm closing. I'm finishing up. Verse 20 says, "In whatever place you hear the sound of a trumpet, rally to us there. Our God will fight for us." So we carried on the work with half of them holding spears from dawn until the stars appeared. They just changed the way they were doing the work. Like, well, we got all this done without having any issues, but now we got issues with this problem. So we'll just change how we do the work, right? But we're never going to stop doing the work just because of the way it looks or the way it feels or what anybody says. We're not going to do that. You know, I look at things in the world and I look at how the world reacts to any believer who takes even the smallest stand on their faith. And it creates this firestorm of flaming darts from the enemy, not only to those people who are taking a stand, but to all the rest of us who claim to be believers in Jesus as Lord and Savior. And the threat for all of us, every time, even though it's not directly at us, in our community, in our homes, in our churches, it could be somewhere on the other side of the world, but when our brothers and sisters are threatened, they're doing the same work we're doing. We're building the same kingdom. So it's the same threat to all of us. And because we have so much information coming at us so fast, we can know about it all really immediately. And we get a chance to either decide, I'm going to stay about the business of building the kingdom of God, or I'm going to shrink back in fear. Or I'm going to change. I'm not going to do so much of this Jesus talk because it might offend somebody. How many churches that call themselves Christians around the world are changing their doctrine so that they don't offend people. Changing what they believe the Bible says, they're compromising who they are and what they're about because the world is throwing sticks and stones and sometimes threatening violence. And really what is the response to is the world is saying, well, you hate people. You must hate people because you don't agree with us. So to prove to them that we don't hate, we'll change what we believe. And that's not the answer. That means you're going to stop doing the work. You're going to stop building the kingdom because you've been threatened. When God would have us to stand firm in the work, preach the truth, love people, love God. Pray, be vigilant, stay about the Lord's business. Isn't that great? Isn't it simple? Isn't it simple when the Word of God just breaks it down? I think it's amazing. It encourages me because I'm like, oh, well, that makes it easy. I like it when it's easy. But I think I just confessed a few minutes ago that it really isn't that easy. You know what's hard? Getting with God in your private time, driving down the road at your house, sitting in your rocking chair when nobody's around. I know I got a rocking chair. I got four of them. And when you're talking to God about how you really feel and the things that are very real that are coming against you, and especially the times when people who are close to you are naysaying your ministry, those are the times when it gets hard, right? Those are the times when it gets challenging, because our knee-jerk reaction is to deal with it ourselves, those people and those things, right? The way I dealt with people before I was saved is totally different than the way I deal with people since I've been saved. And that's been a journey of learning for me, right? Because handling somebody, there's nowhere in the Bible that says that I can do that in the name of Jesus. Not the way I used to do it, you know. Look, y'all are looking at me like you don't never think this way, right? I know some of y'all are driving down the road, it's like, man, I like to throw a punch that dude right in the face. But you don't do it. Nobody wants to really do it. It's just like it's your emotions. And it honors God when we say, God, you already know how I feel. You already know what I want to do. And you already know what's behind all of this. So while you're giving me strength, and while you're giving me courage, and while you're helping me grow out of this, I want you to bless that person too. Because there's something wrong if they're tearing me down for doing your work. They're missing something. They don't know Jesus the way they could if they're trying to stop what you're doing. Hello? That's the goal, is it not? And Nehemiah, he's just a guy. And he's been called to do a great thing. And the reason that we're talking about this is because his relationship with God was so powerful. There was never, it doesn't show any time where he was like, I don't know what to do. He may not have known the answers, but he always knew, let me go talk to God about this. Let me go bring this up to the Lord. Why? Because he's on assignment from the Lord. His task is for the Lord. He's been sent to do this for the Lord. As we're doing that, why wouldn't we say, hey, these people over here are trying to get in the way of what you're doing. What do you want me to do? And that seemed, and then go do it. This is where I had to grow too. It's like I would ask God what to do. And then I would spend the next X amount of minutes talking to God. It's like, you sure want me to do that? What if I did this? What if I went over and, you don't think this would work? And there was, look, I'm just confessing to y'all. Sometimes I would get done asking the Lord what to do, and it'd be clear. He'd tell me, and he'd give me an opportunity, and I'd walk over and to the person. I would say, now, here's what I want to do, but the Lord told me to do this, so I love you. I'd have to make sure they knew what I wanted to do. I grew out of that years ago. Don't even worry about it. I'm just telling you what, I know I'm a normal person, regardless if you believe it or not, I'm normal. I'm not the only one that struggles these ways. But the Lord's working on me, y'all. And the Lord's working on you. Let's just stay about the Lord's business. We're here to make disciples. We're here to love people. Take every opportunity to tell them Jesus loves them. And forgiveness is there. We're all just trying to grow. Coming to grow with us. That's it. And every time naysayers get involved, every time opposition, every time there's discouragement, just know that Jesus died for those people too. Just make up your mind to know it. Because if you don't, it's going to interfere with you talking to God and hearing what to do about it. But if you don't keep it in that perspective, even that the worst person that's against you, the worst people that are against you, the worst group that are against the Christians in the world, Jesus died for them too. The same grace that saves us can save them. So it's not a battle between us and them. It's a battle between God's holiness and Satan's wickedness. And we're just trying to build a kingdom in the middle of it all. Isn't it great? I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to stand up and sing. If you're not saved, you should probably do that today. because time is ticking. If you want to be saved, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you can begin to walk in God's grace and grow together with us. Let's stand together and we'll sing. Let me pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the gospel message. We thank you for our calling to it. Lord, we thank you for using us in the body of Christ to build your kingdom, to be on your assignment, to do your work for your glory. Help us learn, Lord, to, out of habit, just talk to you about all things. Help us to be vigilant about how to do things in a way that would protect us from the enemy and his ways, that we would continue to love even those that come against us in some way, and that you would have your way with those who are against you. Help us, Lord, to be vigilant, and help us to remember your greatness, your awesomeness, and all the things that you've done that's so powerful in our lives. We love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray.